It's always a joy to come to the house of the Lord and to spend some time, fellowshipping with people who love the Lord and to also to build up the body of Christ. You know, the past few months we have been looking from Paul's writing to the church in Philippi. You know, many times as we read that particular passages, the four chapters of Paul, I realize, you know, the kind of joy, you know, that Paul was having in his life, you know. Back, he was in prison, just waiting to be executed, or maybe he might be released, we do not know. You know, Paul was just in prison, but the kind of joy, you know, sometimes I wonder, where did Paul get all this kind of joy? You know, he was able to encourage the Christians, you know, instead of asking them, you know, pray for me, pray that I'll be released, pray that, you know, my sentence will be limited or even lessened. But then he was just always encouraging, always motivating, and he was always found with full of joy. And sometimes I really wonder where, you know, Paul gets that kind of joy. And as I look in Paul's writing, particularly the Philippians, and also the other writings of Paul, the 13 letters of Paul, I realize it's all because of Christ, right? It's not because the situation that was around him. It's all because of Christ. And I think Christ was the center of his life. And when I was just, you know, giving myself to Paul's writing, I was asking myself, what's happening in the world today? What's happening particularly in the Christian world today, in the church's life today? Why are we not experiencing that kind of joy? Can you imagine Paul in prison saying, you know, I rejoice in the Lord always? And he repeats by saying, again I say, and again I say, rejoice in prison. Right? In prison. And he was able to say, why are we struggling to have that kind of a joy in our lives? Or to have that kind of peace in our life? And as I think of all those things, I think I'm just reminded of Jesus. Let's spend some time in prayer and then we'll ask God to help us. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you, Lord, because it's a living word. There is life, and you are the word. Lord, we want to hear you. We want to experience you in our lives, O God. We pray that you will help us. You will help us, Father. Lord, we pray that your Spirit will continue to speak to us. And even speak to me, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, many times I tend to look at certain articles and start reading. And I ask myself, you know, why today quite a number of people are leaving the church, right? It's not only that's happening in the Canadian world. It's also happening throughout the world. Particularly if I read the U.S., I realize, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, in terms of percentage, I think a couple of large percentage of people are just leaving the church. They don't want to do anything with the church. And some of them are so disappointed by saying, you know, I don't want to do anything with Christ. Recently, I was just reading another article, you know, I was just doing some reading, particularly the church in Australia. You know, I was really surprised to see even the Catholic Church is also affected. You know, one of the archbishop was just writing this particular article and he was saying that people were not coming to church. In other words, I think it has gone down in terms of attendance in the church. And so when I was just reading all these things and I was just comparing with the Word of God, I was asking myself, what's wrong? What's happening? You know, what's happening? What's the greatest threat the church or even Christians are facing today in this world? Why? Numbers are living. Why people are just frustrated because of the church? Why they're frustrated because of what's happening in the church? You know, many a times when I look at all this and I reflect on Mark's writing, I realize, you know, many a times what is happening, I think Christ is no more the right and center of the church life. What has happened? I think the early church, everything was Christ. It's about Christ, it's about Jesus, right? Everything was Christ and Christ alone. But over the years, what has happened, I think it is, you know, we have actually shifted Christ to the corner. It has become us. It's about our needs, right? These are the things that I need in my life. I need these things. And so Christ has become an add-on into our life. We add on certain things. And so what has happened in the church today, Christ has been shifted either to the left or the right. Not the center, my friend. Our needs has become the center. Our agendas have become the center. And so that frustrates a lot of people because we come to worship God. We want to experience God in this world. And I think when I read Mark's writing, I think I tend to see why Mark wrote this particular gospel. When you read Mark's letters, you know, gospel, he's talking about the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's New Testament Christianity. It's about the authority, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you read that Jesus had authority over the world. He had authority over the natural world. He had authority over the satanic powers of this world. He had authority over sickness. He has authority. I think that's what Mark is trying to tell us. So the more I read Mark, I realize, I think Christ has to be the center of our lives, my friend. Right? I think today, many of our programs is just meeting our needs, just to make us feel happy, feel good. Right? But do we glorify God in all the things that we do in terms of our ministry? Do we realize who we are in terms in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is Christ the center or are we the center? I think the passage that's before us, Mark chapter 1, is a passage that speaks to us about who Jesus is. And I think, you know, that's important for us to go back to the basics kind of a thing, right? Who Jesus is, right? And who are we? And what's my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not about me alone. It's about Jesus. Is Christ still the Lord of our lives? I think let's look at the particular passage that was just read to us. And as I told you, you know, the emphasis of Mark, and you can imagine Jesus is coming by the Sea of Galilee, and then he sees a couple of disciples, or sorry, they were not disciples at that point of time. They were just ordinary fishermen, ordinary folks, right? And Jesus comes by and says, come, follow me, right? And I'll make you fishers of men, or fish for men. And it says they left their nets and followed him. And then he saw another group of, you know, the brothers, James and John, and he invites them too. And they also respond the same way. And they dropped everything and they followed Christ. I think that's what we read in this particular text, right? But when you look at not only this particular text, you don't see whether what was John talking to his brother, right? You don't hear that. You don't see their conversation. You don't hear Peter and Andrew talking within themselves and asking, you know, should we follow this man who's calling us? Should we go and ask Dad or get permission from our mom about following this man? You don't see that particular picture at all. You don't see them talking. You don't see them about taking time to think about it. I think that was not the concern of Mark, the writer, right? The concern is about the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus as the authority. I think that's what Mark is trying to tell us. It's not about the disciples or the fishermen talking within themselves. You know, it was not about their conversation. It's not about, you know, what they were looking at their lives. It was about the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has the authority to call us. And I think that's what Mark is telling us. He has the authority over each and every person who has called himself to be a Christian. Right? He comes and says, come and follow me. But then there's a choice, my friend, whether they want to follow Christ or not. I think the passage tells us that Jesus has authority over our lives. Jesus has authority over the entire world. Jesus has authority over Satan. Jesus has authority over what's happening, the illness, whatever that's happening in our lives. He has the authority. I think we need to realize that, my friends. What has happened, I think, you know, as I told you, you know, we have shifted the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ probably to the right or to the left. It's about our authority. It's about who we are. But Mark says it's not about you. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the writing of Mark. Everywhere you see, it's about Jesus and Jesus' authority. He has the right to invite us, to call us to follow him. And I think that's important for us. Is Christ our authority? Does Christ have authority over our lives, over the things that we do, my friend? Or are we still in authority? I think Mark tells us the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think there are numerous passages. I need not go after all these passages. It talks about the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we still sitting on the throne? Or is Jesus sitting on the throne? I think it's important for us. I think it's important even in the church life too, whether we are sitting on the throne, right? Whether Christ is sitting on the throne. I think Mark is emphasizing the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes. And secondly, when you look at this particular passage, what happens? I think, you know, there is, when they heard Jesus call them, it says in verse 18, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. Right? That was Andrew and Simon. And then further, you know, and you also read the sons of Zebedee, which is James and John, right? They also immediately left and followed him. You know, I was asking myself, why? Why did they immediately left everything and followed him? Is it because of their spirituality, right? Did they think, oh, I'm worthy to be a leader for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? I'm worthy to respond to the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think so. It's because of their word. I believe it's about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Mark is trying to tell us. It's not about who Simon is. It's not about his business. It's not about James. It's not about John. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the power. Not only he has the authority, but he has the power, my friend. And I think they responded because they realized, you know, this Jesus was someone very special. Can you imagine? Can you imagine someone just walks by and says, you know, come and follow me? There was a time in their life, I think they were listening to God's word. They were listening to the teachings of Christ. But then they realized, you know, I think when this particular passage, you know, when you compare with other writings, you also realize they have been hearing about Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, but I think they came to a point they realized that Jesus had the power. Right? Jesus had power over their lives, and that's why immediately they responded, immediately without any hesitation, they responded to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Can you imagine, you know, even Paul was, before that he was called Saul, he immediately responded. Right? And there were numerous examples in the scriptures. People immediately responded because, you know, what has happened? They have heard the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and they realize that Jesus is Lord. He is the authority. He has the power over my life. And I need to respond immediately. I need to drop everything because he is worth following. He is worth following. Can you imagine having, maybe in today's language, we will use the word terrorist. Can you imagine a person, someone like that in your group? Simon the Zealot was, in today's language, you know, we would always call him as a terrorist because he wanted to overthrow the Roman Empire, right? He had that kind of zeal in his heart. He wanted to overthrow the Roman Empire, and he was one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? It's not about Simon the Zealot, my friend. It's about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw there was power in his life. They saw, they have heard his teaching. This is not an ordinary man that I and you know. This man is the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. I think that's what Mark is trying to tell us. That today, I think Mark is telling us the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about their spirituality. Because they saw and they left everything, and it was worth following Jesus. It was worth following Jesus. Thirdly, when I look at this particular passage, I'm also realizing, you know, Mark is trying to tell us, you know, it's about Christ's authority, it's about Christ's power, and then he's also talking about Christ's mission, right? He says, and I will send you out to fish for men. It's about his mission, right? And Jesus came. You know, many a times, I think what has happened today in the world today, I think there's an emphasis. If you follow Christ, Christ does everything in your life, whatever you ask. I'm not saying that, you know, you don't receive healing in your life, you don't receive deliverance in your life, you don't receive, you know, that brokenness that will be patched by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying no to all this. But when you look at Christ's mission, you know, the Lord Jesus says, come, right, and follow me, and I'll, you know, make you fish for men. I think that was the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? He wanted to bring people to experience the kingdom of God. I think that's the mission of Christ, my friend. I think, have we lost that vision or the mission, right, as a church or even in our lives? When we pray, are we saying, Lord, this is me, this is my need, you know, I want you to help me? Or are we saying, Lord, I want to fulfill the mission, even in my brokenness, even in my difficulties, even in my struggles, oh God, I want to fulfill the mission that you have given to us. What has happened, even in our prayer life, I think if you realize, I think we have taken the center stage. It's about our needs. It's about the things that we want to experience in our life. But Mark is telling us, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about his mission. It's about his authority. It's about his power in our lives. Sometimes it's very sad, right? I think as a church, or sometimes when I say church, I'm just saying it not in any church in a particular manner, right? Whether we have lost the Christ's mission, right? I think there's a lot of emphasis on just meeting our needs, but I think Jesus could have easily said, you know, come, you guys, follow me. You know, I will double your business, right? Come, you know, I will help you out. No. I think Christ was inviting them to his mission. I think it's very important if you look at this particular passage. I think Christ is calling them to be part of his mission of investing in the lives of people, about extending God's kingdom, my friend. This is about living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ that others will see. I think that is one of the main themes of Mark. It's about Christ's authority. It's about Christ's power. It's about Christ's mission to seek and to save those who are found. I think it's important for us, right? Whether is Christ the center of our lives? Is Christ the center of our church life? Is Christ the center of everything that I do? If I'm involved in some kind of ministry, is it for Christ? Is it just for Christ alone? Or is it just to fulfill my self-ego? I think that's important for us as Christians to ask. And let me finish with this. Mark, I think, also says, and how he also finishes by talking about Christ's disciples. It's not about, you know, it's about we following the Lord Jesus Christ and we becoming followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, and the cost of following Christ, I think, yes, we all of us are Christians here. We love God. It's wonderful, right? It's wonderful. It's about Christ's power. It's about Christ's authority. It's about Christ's mission. So how does that relate to me? Right? And it says, they followed Jesus, right? What was happening? They submitted to his authority. When you look at the word very carefully, right? I was just looking, you know, in those days, during the time when the scriptures was, you know, in those days when this event was happening, you know, there was a lot of problem in Galilee. There was social turbulence in Galilee. So if you are a fisherman, you can survive. There were two traits. You know, people always wanted to. You know, they want to be fishermen and fish drying. In other words, they want to catch fish, they want to dry the fish, Today we call it salted fish, right? It's very tasty. I love salted fish, by the way. Yeah. And so what was happening? And so, you know, they submitted to Jesus' authority by saying, it's not about, you know, about my stability. It's about Jesus' authority. It's not about me. It's about Christ. It's not about my authority. It's about, you know, Christ. I think the cost of following Christ is submitting to his authority. You know, today, when we say we are Christians, when we say we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, do we allow Christ to be the authority in our lives? Right? He says, sitting on the thrones of our heart and saying, you know, I'm in authority. I'm in charge. I decide for you. I plan out for you. I know the way for you. And it is me who's in charge of your life. I think that is important for us. I think to be a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, Lord, I submit to your authority, to your leadership. You know, when I read the passage, very interestingly, Jesus said, come and follow me. Right? Look at the literal word. It means in the Greek text, you know, you follow me. Right? And many a times what has happened, I think, we have minimized Christ and we say, you know, we become partners of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's, yes, my friend, we partner in his ministry. I'm not saying no, but Jesus was very clear about it, that he is in charge. You come and you follow me. And very interestingly, when I was reading, you know, in those days, what was happening, you know, people always went after a particular rabbi by saying, you know, I want to learn this philosophy. And so I'm going after this particular rabbi. I want to learn about science. And so I will go after him, right, and learn his teaching. But the way Jesus calls is totally different. He, you know, people were just going after the rabbi or the great teacher. But here it is totally different. Jesus was inviting them and saying, you come because I have the authority. And then it was not you follow my teaching, but you follow me. In those days, they followed the teachings of the rabbi, the great man, not him, not his lifestyle. Just I want to share in your knowledge, period. But Jesus does something very radical, my friend. He was going around and choosing the 12 disciples and saying, you follow me, right? Not my teaching alone, but my life, the way I live in this world, my mission. And that's why Jesus says, I give you authority. I give you power. Go in my name, right? And that's the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. It is not about his teaching. He wants us to follow him and to submit to his authority. It's about following the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, I think a disciple is a person who's obedient to his call, right? What happens? As I told you, they left everything. They left. As I told you, you know, there was economic stability was not a concern to them. The word left is a very heavy word in the Greek text. Like it's a very Greek, very powerful word. They left everything because they left their self-worth and they found their self-worth in the Lord Jesus Christ. They left their identity and they found their identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? They left themselves and they found themselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the meaning of living. It is not just living everything and following Christ. I live and I find my self-worth in Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul says, I'm the least. But then he also says, I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm considered least compared to anyone. But I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm worth in the presence of God, in the sight of God. That's the way he saw his self-worth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think he saw his identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no more I, but Christ. It's no more me, it's Christ. I think that is obedience to the call. It is not just responding to a ministry that God has given to us. The obedience was much more greater, my friend. It's not me, it's Christ. I see my self-worth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, there was a commitment to his mission, right? What was the mission? The redemptive plan of God was to save the sinners. I think that was the commission to the mission of Christ. And that's why if you read not only Matthew, you read the Gospels, you read words like, you know, you have to be the salt of the world, right? It talks about all these words, right? You have to be the light of the world. You have to be salt of the earth. And that's what Scripture is reminding us. I think we all committed to the mission of Christ. As I told you, Christ's mission becomes our mission. Christ's desire becomes our desire. I think that's a faithful disciple, a person who says, Lord, you are in charge. I follow you. You lead the way. You show me the way, and I submit to your authority. A person who is obedient to his call, who finds himself, his self-worth in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And when I look at all these things, you know, I realize, no, Jesus called. Can you imagine Jesus calling Simon? You know, when I was reading this particular text, I was asking myself, if I'm forming a team, probably I'm not going to invite, you know, Simon in this group or Peter. I'm not going to call James and John, because if you realize, you know, Simon Peter or Simon was a betrayer. He denied Jesus 3 times. Do you want a person to be in your group who denies knowing you? Right? Do you want to be a person who want to choose like people like James and John, who were just crazy for power because they wanted to sit on the right and the left of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, when I look at it, you know, Jesus called them. Why? It's not because they were worthy, but because they were willing. It is not because they were worthy, but they were willing to surrender everything and to say, Lord, you are in charge. We want to be obedient to our call, right? We want to find our self-worth in you. Self-worth in you, right? And you remember when Peter was crucified upside down, the tradition says his wife was standing around. He told the wife when he was crucified upside down, remember the Lord, remember the Lord. Those were the words of Peter, right? Remember the Lord. And so, my friend, I think, let us remember, right, that Christ have to be the center of our lives. Christ have to be the center. Many a times, you know, we have moved him to the side. Christ is just an add-on. Whenever I need you, I add on like a feature, like a phone for feature. We add on whenever we need. No. Christ is the authority. Christ is the power. And it is about Christ and Christ's mission. I think we need to bring back Christ, right, to be the center of our lives, center of the life of our church. At the same time, as people who love the Lord, we need to say, Lord, you are in charge, and I want to submit to your authority. Lord, you are in charge, and I want to just give myself, I want to see myself worth in you. I want to identify myself with Christ. Lord, you call the shots, right? Because we are committed not to our mission, not to our desire, not to fulfill, but your mission to save and to seek the lost and to bring people to your kingdom. Now to pray, you know, before I pray, I thought I'll just share a story with you. It's about a short story which I read in the Leadership magazine some time ago. It's about a mother. You know, she wanted to encourage the son to play piano, right? And by the way, we're also looking for more musicians in the church. So if you play some kind of music, you know, talk to Enoch or Roberta. We'd love to have you to be part of the worship team, right? And so this mother was willing to encourage the son, the young son. He was a young boy, to progress in his piano. So she brought him to a great performance, right? And she wanted him to see a great man, you know, polish. A concert pianist was playing at that point of time. His name was Ignace. And so she wanted him to see this great man play. And she thought, you know, when he sees, he will be like Ignis and all that. So that day came, and that evening, you know, she brought the son. You know, she was probably, her mother was so, you know, she really wanted the son. So she almost got the front seat in the concert hall. She grabbed the son. And before the concert started, you know, probably she was early there. You know, there was a person just beside this. She started having conversation with the person beside. It's a true story. And when she was talking, you know, she almost forgot the son. Because, you know, when you start talking, you talk about many things. So then suddenly she realized, you know, the son was missing. And then within a few seconds, the stage light was on. And to her surprise, the son was sitting on the stage, occupying the seat that was supposed to be occupied by the great pianist. She didn't know what to do, right? Probably we would shout that, you know, by the time she could have responded, I think what was happening, the great pianist came. And he sat beside the small boy. And very interestingly, you know, this small boy was innocently playing this particular song. I think all of us know this song. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, right? I'm not asking you to sing this song. How I wonder what you are. You know, I think he was playing. I think, yeah, probably that's what he learned. So he was just playing that. And this great man came. He came and just sat and smiled at him. And this boy was so excited, and he was playing, you know, the same chords. And this man immediately put his fingers just beside, and he started playing bass and told the boy, "You play." And he was just supporting it through bass. And the boy was just playing. And then he put his arm around the boy's shoulder. He reached out to the other side of the piano. And he played, started playing. He started playing. And this boy, he told the boy, "Don't quit. Keep playing. Keep playing. Keep playing." And it was so wonderful. And the people, the two of them mesmerized the entire audience. There was some kind of awe, right? And he was able to use this small boy who only knew what twinkle, twinkle, little star. And with that, I think this great man was able to accompany, and you know, to the surprise of many. When I read this particular story, I think I'm reminded. I believe God is telling us, don't quit, keep on playing. It might be a small thing. Keep on doing. It might be a small devotion that you are doing in your life. The Lord says, keep on doing. Keep on doing. It might be a small prayer that you have every day. The Lord says, keep on doing. You know, keep on doing, because He will come along with you. If you're a small, if you say, you know, I'm involved in a small ministry in the church, the Lord says, keep on doing. Keep on doing, because He will further strengthen the ministry. Let's pray. If you ever realize that, you know, many a times when we come, it's about us. It's about our needs. It's about our difficulties. It's about our fears. My friends, I'm not saying that you cannot come with your needs, because there are passages in the Word of God that says, cast all your burdens on Him. Many a times I feel, I think we need to bring back Christ. It's about Christ. It's about His authority in our lives. It's about His power in our lives. It's about Christ's mission in our life. the fishermen, they left everything. They saw their self-worth in the Lord Jesus Christ. They left everything, almost like they left their identity, and they found their identity in Christ. It's about Christ. Are we a faithful disciple? Can we say, I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that reminds us to make you the center of our lives, O God. Many a times, O God, whether knowingly or unknowingly, O God, we push you to the side, or Christ becomes the add-on to our life. But Father, we pray that you will help us to allow you, Lord, to have you to be the authority, to reveal your power, and to help us, O Lord, to feel the pulse, your pulse, O God, in terms of mission. And Father, as a faithful disciple, Lord, help us to always submit to your authority. You are in charge, O God, of our lives. Help us to be obedient, Father, to drop everything. Because nothing is comparable to you. And help us, Lord, to have your mission as our mission. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray.